Well, last week we were into managing, right? We were talking about how we are managers of what God has provided for us and recognizing that that management is presented to us by grace of God, by His provision of all the gifts and all the talents that He has given us. And I tried, and I don't know if I accomplished that mission that I had. I tried to somewhat to rescue the word slave, right? Remember? Again, because of all the connotation that it has, because of our lenses of history. And as one who is redeemed, and is willingly supporting what God is doing, I know that word slave, again, does cause some trouble for us. But when we look at it in those terms, that we have been redeemed, that we have been freed and liberated. I remember something about that a couple of months ago, right? Or during the summer, we've been talking about that. We are free. And we are free to serve God. Right? And as we serve, we recognize that we have then a master. And that we are then the master's slaves. We do that willingly. So it's not that we have been taken away and forced to do this work. We do that out of our will. And now, as part of our management and the work that we do, we are well served to by understanding our own selves. And more specifically, understanding about ourselves. And by this I mean that we could determine which are the gifts that each one of us and the gifts that we as a congregation have been gifted with. The reason for that is that people who know how they are gifted by God are in a better position to serve their master. Right?
Right.
See, if I know that I've been gifted with a gift of numbers, then I would know that it would be fitting for me to work in accounting, right? Or if I'm gifted with the gift of service, then I could employ those gifts in a hospitality ministry or by visiting others. So it is a good thing that we recognize in ourselves what God has done, what He has provided for us, so that we can actively and consciously employ those gifts for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Did I hear everybody say it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen. But if you're not aware of how you're gifted, then it will be difficult to engage. It will be difficult to define how to best serve the Lord. Now, gifts are given to us, and we're gifted in different traits. We're gifted in character, and we're gifted in the spirit. Furthermore, we're also gifted with experience. And today, we're going to address one of those aspects of our character that is to be developed in us. Trust. You remember that hymn? Trust and
obey.
Obey. It is the only way. You see, what and who we trust can be a definite shaper of our character. Now, I know that we're in a season of politics. Oh, jeez. I had to go there, right? Oh, jeez. Why do you even mention it, right? I've been reading about a little bit about what's going on. And there's a group of us that is called the millennials, right? Those have been born between 1980 and 2000. And they were doing surveys about the millennials. Who do they trust? Guess what? 79% of millennials don't trust either candidate. It should be 100%. But trust is a big issue. It's not only who do we trust outside of our realm of influence, but who do we trust inside of us? And who do we trust to accomplish the mission that we have been set to do? There's a saying that says, tell me who you walk with and I will tell you who you are, right? In Spanish, I know. Dime con quién andas y te diré quién eres. Tell me who you're walking around with. Who are your friends? And I will tell you who you are. Because it's so interesting how that works in our lives. Those two people that we relate with have influence in us. And Jesus is said to teach his disciples on the way, right? On the go. He engaged with people and their circumstances, and he utilized events that happen in normal life just to provide light and what I call heavenly context for them, for everyone around him, and also for the disciples. Case in point, there's this someone in the crowd, right, who addresses Jesus with a domestic dispute, right? We could say that it is a domestic issue because it's a matter between two brothers. And we all know about siblings, right? Siblings can be the most loved people and the most hated at the same time. They serve as points of reference. Our brothers, our sisters, they have a function in our conscience that we don't even realize. They're a reference of our identity in many ways. Just as our parents, right? But you see, there's a difference between parents and siblings. Because with siblings, you have the opportunity of rivalry. When we're talking about sharing chocolate, that's what I was thinking about. I could tell you a story, but I won't go into it, about my brother and I going to a pizza restaurant and fighting for the food. But you see, this someone that is from the crowd demands from Jesus to intervene in their financial affairs. You see, finances is another area where our character is noted, because it's fully related to the matter of trust. Now, first, we are not to trust anyone in matters of finances. If somebody says to you, here, you give me $10,000 and I'll invest it and I'll bring you back $30,000. What would you do? And second, finances are intricately related to the matter of dependency because it is a vehicle to fulfill our needs. Thus, the conundrum, right? Who do we trust? And who or what do we decide to depend on? And here's Jesus' answer to someone that is obviously trusting all his dependency on his brother's inheritance. And only for qualification, I want to say that the practice of inheritance in the time of the old Middle East was that the older male would receive the inheritance from the father. Land, everything would go to him. And the younger brothers would have to live off of the older until he died. They would get their share at that point. And then they would carry on the responsibility of keeping the land and keeping everything for the family. Now this someone was probably a younger brother that wanted to jump the gun, which in turn speaks to the problem identified by Jesus, greed. Now before identifying the problem, Jesus asks who had made him judge over this situation. And to me this is really interesting. This seemingly innocent reply has all the weight of the law behind it. You see, no one could make anybody do anything unless they have jurisdiction, right? Which means that they have the legal standing in determining an outcome and have it stick. In other words, that request had no meaning other than eliciting an opinion from Jesus Christ, which could really get nowhere. Because even if Jesus Christ said, do this, it wasn't binding. Because Jesus was not judge. So this is why Jesus addresses immediately the issue of character, which in this case is greed. And as teacher, he could offer his perspective on character, even though he didn't have to deal with the legal matter of inheritance. So he settles the legal question. Do I have any jurisdiction to tell you or tell your brother what to do? None whatsoever. But here is what I do have jurisdiction on. Watch out for all kinds of greed, because life is not about abundance of possessions. So you see, Jesus, in his wisdom, bypassed all the things that he was just going to be criticized about and have no impact in this man's life. And said, let's not worry about your fight with your brother. You're going to have it for a long time. Let's talk about your heart. You see, the parable that follows reinforces then that possessions are fleeting. It's all about the focus that we have on life and not on the things of life. Even though we may be tempted to justify our needs and our own desires, Jesus has a point to make about trust. You see, anxiety. Hello? Anybody here? Anxiety creates all kinds of points of reference that are false. I'm so anxious in life that I want to get more guitars, more amplifiers, more vacations to surfing spots in my life. You see, all the things that come up in our lives that are saying, if you had this, it'll be settled. If you had that, oh, you'd be so fine. I tell you, you would have peace like a river. If you only had this car. You see, if you have all that abundance, then you can say, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Pie in the sky, isn't it? Right? But that's how it works. That's how it works. Yeah, all these ideas come into our minds, and that anxiety of life just makes it like, oh, that's the solution. If I only had whatever. And it sounds good. But you see, his life, that man's life, was classified by God as a life of a fool. The life of one that was just looking down all the time and not looking up. So it is, it says, with those who store treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. Wow. I don't know about you, but I think that you're probably thinking the same thing that the disciples were thinking. How in the world can I do this? How in the world can I put myself in a place where all these things would become meaningless totally for me? And I can completely rely and trust on God. You see, this thing of anxiety and all these needs are so real in our lives. It is just like it was for them. We're always in that pursuit of fulfilling our needs, right? It's a constant. It's a constant in our lives. Doing the right things for us, whether it's in work, whether it is in our production, whether it is in our acquisition of assets and things, whether it is investments for those who can invest, and for those who can't, whether it's simply keeping our heads out of water, right? So tell me, what is wrong with possessions? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with possessions. Note that the parable never says that this man is evil. Right? It never labels this person as an evil person, as irresponsible. Wealth is not evil. And that may be something that maybe some of us had trouble with because of the emphasis that is on being wealthy and what people do when they are wealthy. But we know that material abundance is never enough. Hello? Hello? Do we know this? There's plenty of folks that have everything and more than they need, and they still think that they need more. So the problem is, again, quote unquote, all kinds of greed. You see, that's what we really need to watch out for. And this is especially so when we speak in the context of wealth and faith. faith. Who do we serve? If we serve ourselves, we might end up in a place where life loses significance, because nothing really satisfies our proverbial need for stuff. Okay, let me ask you something. How many of us need more than one car? Oh, come on. Come on, be honest now. Right, there we go. Believe me, I need 3 or 4. One to go out four-wheeling. One to go out racing. One to cruise around without the top on. And another one for the family. Come on, if we're honest. You see, there's always something else that we can think of. Yeah. There's something else that we can create in our minds that is a need. But when we serve God, then we can fall, things can fall into a different perspective. And Jesus points that out in the last verses that we read. He moves into full teaching mode at that point and tells the disciples, do not worry about your life. Yeah, right. How easy is that?
No, it's hard.
How easy?
Not very.
You see, we didn't read the rest of the verses in that section, but most of you know them. And it's still intriguing, isn't it? God provides for the birds. Won't you look at the birds? Mm-hmm. Right? Do they have to work? No, but they still eat. Jesus' words. And to that, my response is, yeah, but they don't have to dress every day in a different outfit. They're good enough with what they have. That's not fair. How can you compare the birds to me? I have different needs. Oh, then Jesus says, but look at the lilies of the field. They are not hard at work, and look at how pretty they are. And you may be saying, yeah, that's good for them. But I need my makeup. You see, basically, birds are naked. Plants themselves, they are naked. They don't need to dress up every day. They don't need the things that we need, right? That's how we could think about these things. Now look at what verse 30 says. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Your Father knows that you need them. But here's the kicker. Instead, strive for His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Did you see that? Your Father knows the things that you need. But if you go after those things, guess what's going to happen? You'll be distracted, frustrated, and without energy. Because it'll sap all of your understanding, all of your thinking, and all of your energy. But if instead you focus on the kingdom of God, then you can spend all of your energy into that. And guess what? All these other things will be given to you as well. It sound good. It really does, doesn't it? It sounds good. But if we're going to build our character a la what God says, we need to pay attention. Stay looking up. Stay looking up. And these other things will be taken care of. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. See, that's the word. And I would say, word, right? Word. The true word. The word of God. Which is trying to say to us, put your attention where it really matters. All these things are distractions. Now, for a person that struggles with this on a daily basis, I can tell you, it's easier said than done. But there is something about those words that are encouraging to me. Whether or not I accomplish all the things that I'm anxious about, God knows what I need. Amen. So it is my task just to stay in task. Stay with it. Looking up. Don't look down. Don't look down at the things of the world. If you are tempted, you might be and you will be. Recognize that whenever we're doing that, we're being sapped with the energy that we need to do the other. Let us pray. Lord, I wonder how is it that we can rearrange all our thoughts in our minds and the desires of our soul to be focused on the kingdom of God in all our lives. Sometimes it is, Lord, all the busyness of our daily lives that really keeps us away from that focus. I pray today, and I pray on behalf of all of us, Lord, that you may give us that power, that your Spirit may indwell us in such a way that you may be the one that is first in our lives. That your kingdom will be present for us all the time. So our prayer this morning, Lord, as we give of ourselves to you as willful slaves, is to provide for us that focus, to keep first the kingdom and all other things be as they might. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.